Find the perfect space for your business with DRK & Company Realty. Flexible office suites are available. Employees and clients benefit from free parking, front door access, and walkable dining, retail, and hotels at the Polaris Lifestyle Center. Managed by DRK & Company Realty, one of Central Ohio's most trusted leaders, this safe, well-maintained property offers dedicated on-site management and responsive maintenance. Grow your business at an address designed for success at 470 Old Worthington Road. Visit drk-realty.com to learn more.
Off the ball, GAA.
Like to Graham O'Sullivan, who I thought was exceptional last year. I thought it was a disgrace. He never got nominated for an All-Star. I thought he was brilliant.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
The good.
Is it a perceptive hard to say it was the performance so far of the World Cup? Maybe not.
The bad.
I'm scratching my head. The performances was just lacked that intensity.
And the amber.
Off the Ball's performance rankings.
What has happened to Donegal is the answer to that question. So, unbelievable this, really. Was it surreal to watch? Really strange, considering the start that Kerry had. But anyway, it's Donegal's only their second Division 1 title. Their first since 2007. Three goals scored by Donegal in 158 seconds, I think, in the second half.
Yeah.
Between the 42nd and 45th minutes. Conor Donald, Michael Murphy, Caelan McGonagall. Now, we mentioned Michael Murphy, the name. So we can go two ways with this, you know. Like, we can inevitably start talking about what happened. And I see the online discourse as well when that is discussed. I saw it being discussed, for example, in a panel variety on Sunday game, League Sunday. And all the comments on social media were like, yeah, but what about the performance? Why aren't you talking about the performance? They would have won anyway. So people getting angry about it. If you don't talk about it, they get angry because you're not talking about it. If they do, it sounds like it's a deflection from the performance.
Yeah, like, it should have been a red card. It wasn't. Shut up, move on is my, you know, that would be my, like, it's not the, you know, he should have been banned. He should be facing a 2-game ban or whatever comes from that. It's not going to happen. I think that the Donegal performance was awesome.
It was
like
mesmeric.
Afterwards, my sound on my TG car wasn't working on the TV for some reason, so I had to watch it on the player on the phone and sync up the pictures. Was it just me?
No,
so all the other channels were working perfectly. Anyway,
was your TV on for too long?
No, it was.
That happens to me sometimes.
Ryan McHugh was interviewed afterwards and he was talking about a performance which I don't remember. They asked him, oh, is this like one of your all-time great performances? He's like, oh, well, obviously the Dublin game and there was a Cork game. He said, he talked about a Cork game, which I couldn't recall, but like they themselves were like feeling how good a performance this was, like an all-time great. The difficulty with these performances being in the league is that your favourite thing, goals that didn't mean anything that were so great that everybody forgets. Or is it Morris's?
That's Morris, to be fair. I just like it. Okay.
You don't want to show your hand too quickly. That's the thing.
Just read Aim Fitzmaurice here. Here's the list of players who they still have quality players to return. Sean Patton, Dara Buil, Kieran Thompson, Kieran Moore, Oisin Gallen, Finbar Rorty was sick, so he didn't start. And you're like, oh.
He still came on and was class. Came on from Michael Murphy.
This is... you know, it's like, because you're looking at the Kerry team and thinking, interesting that they played as poorly as they did. Maybe there's an explanation, maybe there isn't. But they still have some players to do stuff. It was interesting to watch Paul Gainey come on and just do a little jink and kick a 2-pointer. I was like, oh, that's still got it, buddy.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought it was...
It was strange. If you happened to afflict this match off at around the 14th minute... You would have thought this is going to be really competitive towards Michael Langan scores a 2-point around the quarter hour mark, and then from there they don't look back. They scored 3-6 in a row at 1 point, Donegal, in the second half. I think it's fair to say we can put that green
for sure.
I think we can do that now. Jack O'Connor was speaking afterwards, right? The writing was on the wall during the week in relation to the Kerry performance. The lads didn't appear to have regained their energy by Thursday night. This is Jack O'Connor yesterday speaking afterwards. And Croke Park is a bad place if you don't have energy. And there's plenty of energy in the Donegal State things afterwards. Do you want to hear from Jim McGuinness?
Yeah, we'll play it here.
Have a listen. This is Jim McGuinness in the aftermath of Donegal's second only ever Division 1 title.
I didn't see anything of it, to be honest with you, you know. But the game is very physical out there. Like, going back to the kickouts, like, the game is very physical on kickouts at the moment. There's an awful lot of blocking going on kickouts. There's an awful lot of physicality going on kickouts across all the games. There's an awful lot of screening going on in the attacking third, which I think somebody's going to get hurt from. I think people are going to people to hand them the ball, and they're running into people to release people. That's not in the rule book, and people are talking in the media, and coaches are talking about screening. Screening is not in the rule book. That's a black card. If you intentionally screen somebody, you're coming across their path. So I think that's definitely something that probably needs to be stamped out going into the championship, because I do see a bad head injury coming from that one, you know. But to your point, the physicality is heavy around the middle. It really is heavy around the middle.
We will talk about that in a second. Do you want to hear from Jim again? This is in response to Tommy Rooney. We'll talk about it afterwards.
That's great. Listen, I suppose coming up the road, you want to win the game. That's reality. Every game you go into, you want to win the game. I suppose, coming up the road as well, you want to give a good account to yourself, and they did that as well. I suppose a very different 20 minutes to last summer. We were able to get our hands on the ball, and it settled us into the game, and that had a big impact on it. You know, we used the ball then obviously well when we got the ball, but we managed to get our hands on the ball early in the game, and that had a big impact on sort of everybody settling down, relaxing, and kicking scores.
Kick out from massive, obviously. I think you won 7 on the spin in that spell, and got maybe 10 points in a row.
Yeah.
You really strangled the likes of Kerry. Felt like a bit of a reversal on last year's, you said.
Listen, Tommy, that's the battle everybody's facing every day of the week. You know, we were looking at the analysis during the week there of Armagh against Kerry, and Kerry did a serious number on the Armagh kick-out early in the game, and they were 10 points to nil up, and then all of a sudden the thing starts to turn, and Armagh then are back level because they did a serious number on the kick-out. That's just the game. It's hard to get them away. The 40-metre arc has changed the game. If you had a good day and you're able to either win it clean or win a break, and the next one and the next one, there's massive momentum from that, and that's really how it played out today. You know, we were able to get our own away, and we were able to win a number of carries early in the game, and it settled us.
Arsene Wenger's spirit lives on. I did not see it.
Yeah.
Very hard not to see if you're on that sideline, I'd imagine.
Well, also, as you say, you were at the game and the clip was doing the rounds instantaneously. Sure, look, what else?
He's right. From his perspective, from the Donegal side only, if this was a Donegal show, we'd be celebrating that response. And it was deflect. Don't talk about that. What's he going to say? Oh, he shouldn't be doing that sort of thing.
Yeah.
He doesn't care, does he? He doesn't care.
No, and the physicality, like punching people in the face is also more likely to damage them from a head injury. Like, you know, it's just difficult to give out about the blocking in the answer to a question when you were asked about your star player punching somebody in the head. So at the same time, that is also a real thing.
Yeah, like, he's not wrong about that either.
No,
like, fairness.
And the Dubs invented this with the basketball stuff years ago, and everybody was like, oh, isn't that so clever? And then Mayo copied it, and everybody does it now.
Well, it really suits the arc now.
Yeah.
The longer shot, because it is a three-pointer thing in basketball. That is the point of it. So
exactly, and it's an excellent. Would it stop if it became a black card foul, which it probably is anyway? You know, it is a cynical foul.
If you were to
define it properly, a few black cards in the first few weeks of the provincial championships, that could actually, and the benefit of that is you get loads more 2 points. So we actually, So he has raised a very important issue, which I suspect gets drowned out in the, oh, but what about your man should have been sent off? And he should have been. But I think that argument, there's not much conversation around it, is there?
No, it's just, I think the anger is that people feel that this is not the first time Michael Murphy has done something like this and gotten away with it. So there's a sense of injustice for people. I think that was the palpable sense of anger in the WhatsApp group
yesterday. He's been sent off before, you know?
Look, I mean, like, look,
I think it was,
if you want to be technical about it, he got disciplined. He just got incorrectly disciplined.
Oh yeah. Now the one get out of jail card that the GA has here is that he was booked potentially for the swinging arm, but there are two swinging arms before the final one. So they could, in the referee's report, go, we saw the first one, we didn't see the second one, so you are therefore within your rights to ban him for a couple of games. And like, here's the thing. Couple of games, going to miss a few games in Ulster.
So it's down. They don't have a game for a few weeks, but they've down first up. They'll be down without Michael Murphy. Like, no disrespect to down, but they are a much better team.
So how this match will be looked at as a reference point much later in the championship, right? It'll be, is this Kerry's Meath from last year?
Who knows? That's the thing, because they had that recovery.
It's a good time to do that.
They're all going out to Portugal this week anyway. Both teams.
Yeah, everyone
separately. Yeah, obviously. I think there's a couple of days overlap, so maybe they won't see each other in the airports. But
like, Kerry are missing a few names there as well. They'll be fine, but
Kerry don't have a meaningful game now until they play Cork in the Munster final. Kerry in the red for sure, right?
Yeah, totally. Redify that one. It was weird. It was just really lethargic. I mean, I don't know. Like, does it kill you when, you know, Murphy should be sent off and then immediately scores a 2-pointer? I think he finishes at 1-5. But to mention David Clifford, look, you were tempted to go for the David Clifford tackle alone, and he is kept hugely quiet.
Sorry, Shifty's given out. Jesus, Ger, if that's the case, just let every player take a free shot and simply move on. That's not what I'm saying, Shifty. I'm just saying it should have been red, but there's no point in us all going, it's like, we all know it should have been a red. He knows it should have been a red. McGuinness knows it should have been a red. David Goff, watching back this morning, is like, oh, that should have been a red. What was my linesman doing? That's the main one you would kind of... But there's no point in spending 40 minutes talking about that.
We do want to stamp that out of the game, though.
Yeah, but
to punch it. We do want to get rid of that.
Like. This is the point. That is correct. Point in this, right? I think everyone understands your point of it. It's like, of course that happened. Everyone knows it was the wrong thing occurred. But it's actually to Dara's point there. It was like, well, hold on now. You can't be going around boxing the heads off lads.
And that is happening.
I agree, but
that is happening.
That is mentally.
It's just one of these cases where someone has got hit in the face. I don't think he necessarily hits him in the face on purpose. I think he just kind of is whacking at him and then he catches him in the face. But now it's highlighted because that's happened. This is going on and every second tackle.
If there's CCTV footage of that in a night out, you're like, yeah, okay, I can see why this is going to court. This is crazy. Like, this
can't be that.
It's mental. And that's why people are annoyed about it, I think. But you're correct in that. Like, we'll move on. Everyone will move on to this very quickly. It was just the incorrect decision made. And Dylan Case, I'm sure, will get on with it. And it was like, oh, it just happens.
There should be a forum for that to be held accountable afterwards. And that's like...
Yeah.
But you know that would end up in front of the CCCC and the barristers would come and they'd be like, well, I think you'll find your rule book here. Subsection 42B incorrectly allowed you to take this case. So...
Yeah.
And then everybody's wasted. Like, I think Donegal absolutely annihilated Kerry yesterday. They were 20 points up at one point.
21, I think, was the peak of it.
And they eased off a little bit to get it back to 13, kind of going, oh, yeah, you can.
But there was a mad jump even. So in the 45th minute, there were 15 points up. And by the 55th minute, it was 21. And then Kerry had a little bit of a comeback at the end. A little bit of life. It was like David Clifford, nice finish. And then they had another chance after that too, which was well saved. Had that gone in, Moss Kennedy came on. And it was a good save. And if that had gone in, you'd be like, oh, it's a bit more respectable now. But it would not have been a justification of the whole game.
Yeah.
As Donegal was
Kerry and Faithful were hitting the road. Kind of half time, even.
I lived very close. And there was people, they had a young enough kid with them who was on the shoulder. So maybe they just decided they'd had enough. But it was half time. The very long half time, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
It's like
I know
that.
40-minute
half time. It felt like
it felt very long.
And we can hear from Jack O'Connor, can we?
Yes, we have that. 30 seconds. Is it around the Michael Murphy incident? Yes.
Okay, have a look.
His reaction to it.
In case you talked a couple of closed fists, one to the jaw, one to the ribs, and look like in the first half. Right in front of yourself, Michael Murphy got a yellow card. What were your thoughts on that?
I agree with you, and you have better eyesight than a few other lads that were looking at it, let's put it like that. So what can I say? That's what happened.
I think,
it's fair. Fair enough.
Yeah, what can you say? people are angry, and I get why you want to stamp it out. just you can't be taking the physicality out of the game. That's a manly sport. Yeah. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Can I say before we move on, Michael Langan, player of the year. If Donegal win the All-Ireland, I'm saying this,
to one.
You can clip this up. He'll be player of the year by the end of the year if they win.
I'm still looking for that answer to the question of who's the second best footballer in the country.
He's up there for sure. I think we'll get on to him now shortly. I imagine Jordan Morris is in that conversation as well. What a player.
It's a nice segue to Meath here. So this is tight again with Cork. So Cork beat Meath by 2 points in the regulation league, and this is the reverse. Now we'll get to the end of the game in the Cork perspective.
Was that about the Hooter?
That was Parky Ring. It was close then, and it was close yesterday. There are green shoots for Cork, and Stephen Sherlock said, I think, scored 9 points. It's excellent. Yeah. But for Meath, like you said there, Dara, some standout performances. Even Rory Kinsella starting with a couple of 2-pointers.
He's brilliant, yeah. Yeah.
Jordan Morris again. And this goes to show, like, whatever Robbie Brennan's doing here, this ain't like, Meath were very good last year. That was brilliant today. They got where they did. This is a continuation of their confidence.
And
I actually did think throughout this match they shaded the match, to be honest. I thought Cork had done very well to win it, even though it was super close. So Cork was 3 points up midway through the second half, but... Meath have a few unanswered points themselves.
It was the lead they'd built in the first half with the wind, I suppose. But it was a great game. Like, both teams played very well. The two boys up top for Cork, Stephen Sherlock and Chris O'Jones, are absolute threats, aren't they? Like,
Chris O'Jones, and I mean this as a massive compliment, because Chris O'Jones, fabulous player, but like had two massive goal chances in the first half.
Then scored in the second, though. Like that,
he did, and the way he took that with the dummy past the goalkeeper was with the confidence. He took his time. Really took his time with that finish, but it was just I say that, like, because he should be a player of that quality, should be scoring those goals. That 1-on-1, the first one I thought was actually the worst of the two misses when he puts it wide. Second one, I don't think he was done much of a favour with Ian Maguire hand passing the ball at a really awkward angle, so he had to make the chance for him himself, but then he pulls it way wide of the near post.
Yeah,
so just little things like that, but I actually did think Meads were the better side.
Yeah, big fan of how the Cork set up. They have their kind of the two corner forwards start back nearly at the 45 and just run onto the ball. So it might be like one and a half forwards gives it off, and it's Stephen Sherlock. It suits him so well to play off the right foot there, and he was slotting points over the first half with the win. But yeah, me, that forward line is so talented.
Jack O'Connor's so ball talented. As well.
Jack O'Connor.
No, I thought Patrick Doyle could have saved that. It was straight at him, but like there was some ferocity in the shot, especially when you watch it live. The replay makes it look worse from the goalkeeper's perspective.
Yeah, it does.
But live, that's a thunder bastard.
It was. Like, when I saw it live, I didn't think there was any saving it. But in the replay, like you said, it didn't do him any favours. But Jordan Morris, I know he probably didn't have his best game scoring-wise. But I haven't seen much from live now, even though he's technically a Cavan man. What a player.
So is Tommy, isn't he? Essentially? Or is he Monaghan?
Well, Jordan Morris, actually, he plays for a Cavan club. Plays for Kings Court. He's such an incredible athlete, though. He can just get away from his man whenever he wants. Still young enough, isn't he? I think, is he 26, 27? There's some talent in that team. I think I'd have them down as Leinster favourites at the minute.
Yeah.
I don't see...
Is that outrageous?
I don't see Dublin actually not beating them comfortably anyway, but I'd see if it's a tight game, I'd see me coming out of that, and I don't think there's anyone else. Lies are looking pretty good, but I think Meath are just a step above everyone else right now.
We hear from James Conlon. He came on.
He was brilliant.
For Meath, he was excellent. Have a listen here.
Like, you'd taken any sort of victory, but from a personal note, to come on off the bench and have such an impact as well, that probably makes it even sweeter, if that's possible.
Yeah, look, it's kind of the icing on the cake when you're coming on. You want to do your best for the team, and to play well is obviously great. We're lucky that I'm probably one of many that could come on and make a difference. We've a strong squad, so yeah, look, to win is the main goal, and to play well is obviously icing on the cake, you know.
There's a lot of talk about finishers in the modern game and everything like that. At times, sometimes it's potentially patronising. How difficult is it just to watch on and ultimately be chomping at the bit, ready to go when you get your opportunity?
Yeah, look, it can be tough. Obviously, you kind of want to be playing as best you can or as many minutes as you can. But look, we have a squad that you see the depth and the strength we have. And look, as Robbie says, it's next man up, and you just try to grab the opportunities with both hands, help the team as best you can. And look, thankfully today it went our way, so it was great.
Yeah, it was James Conlon talking with Jonathan Higgins after Meath won Division 2.
Yeah, he came on for Aaron Lynch, and in fairness to Aaron Lynch, I'd be pretty down about his performance if I was him, because he had to play against the wind the first half and didn't get much ball. Then only about 5 minutes into the second half, he gets taken off for James Conlon, and then Conlon comes on, has an absolutely brilliant game, scores 4 points. So, but he's a crafty little player. He's very like for like with Aaron Lynch. So it's just, there's so much depth there in that forward line.
So it's 2 points in this. Brian just kind of gets the ball. There's like a split second possibility where he has a goal opportunity for Cork at the end. But the big takeaway from the end of that match is the approaching Hooter and what Meath did to stop it. Cynical fouling.
Yeah, Meath did exactly what they should do. They essentially got black cards, pulling people down. The clock had stopped, but it's like, it's too late. And then it looked like they stood in front of a free kick, which didn't make that much sense either. But anyway, I just feel like if we were able to go on until the ball goes out of play, what an end game it would be.
Yeah.
We're turning our back on Cork having one final possession. How exciting is that? Like, why do we do that?
I don't know.
And the whole notion, sorry, Matthew was talking about earlier before we came on air, that I didn't see this now, but in the Down game, apparently Down killed the last 4 minutes with possession football, which you shouldn't really be able to do as well as you can, because it's supposed to be a 12 and 11 press if you use your goalkeeper properly. But they are able to do it, and teams are much better at it now. You can see teams being able to siphon the ball back and forward as the press drops further back. We've really not fully killed that. And then they took a shot and they missed it and it went to extra time. So the thing that it was supposed to fix hasn't been fixed, and we're ruling out these incredible finales.
Yeah. You've just given incentive to, you know, the way in basketball there's the shot clock thing that they'd run it down. If a team has the ball with 23 seconds of the 24 to go, they'll keep the ball for the final shot.
Yeah.
That's essentially what's happening, but because there's no shot clock, teams are keeping it with 5 minutes to go. And if they can keep it, then they'll keep it.
Yeah.
Like, and that's an issue. And I'm not saying I don't think they should bring in a shot clock. I know that's been talked about, but I think
I would definitely be trialing it in some competitions.
That's a slippery slope for me. I think that gets messy. I think you just go back to what we had before. That was such a good, like, I know there's a little bit of keep ball, but it's going to be after the time anyway, really. So I preferred, like, that David Clifford point against Donegal in the All-Ireland final last year. I have no problem with that type of play.
It was amazing.
Like, that's great. I don't know why it was changed. I really don't.
That's already a memory of a bygone era, isn't it?
Yeah.
David Clifford points.
There's no chance of it coming back anytime soon, though, either. This is locked in for a little while, isn't it?
This is it. This is it. That's the greenest of green for Meads. I think you put the whole Robbie Brennan tenure in green, to be honest. They're looking very good outside. Yeah.
This time last year, two coaches walked away and they were in chests. Yeah. And Jordan Morris did damage his cruciate.
Yeah.
In the last round of the league, you're like, oh God, that's a disaster. What's going to happen? Could Carlo beat them in the first round of the championship was the talk.
Yeah.
Now it turns out Carlo are back.
Oh, lovely segue there. Division 4 champions. So the first time since 1944 that Carlo have won anything, whether it's league or championship.
So they'll be playing Kildare in Division 3 next season.
Huge. Let's hear actually from Joe Murphy, Carlo Bass.
Year anniversary of you taking over the job is just coming up. What a year that's been for you and that group of footballers.
Yeah, look, it's not me. I mean, it's the year anniversary of Mick Keogh and Barry Hayes and Christopher Bulger and James Clark and that. Like, that's the package, you know. It's not me. I just try and keep things on the right line and that. But the boys have been amazing, and they're all Carlow men, and they're bursting with pride as well today. So, you know, we didn't need any outside influence to do this. You know, we did this ourselves as Carlow people, and to me that's massive, you know. And maybe it's a lesson for the future.
Very interesting end to that there. Outside managers, no.
Well, he's a pain to say, in other counties are free to do what they want, but this is the right thing for Carlo. I think, as he said, because you can only blame yourself then.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for it. There really is. I do think that some clubs and counties need some help, but maybe you should always have to have the person in charge be a local team for local people. Anyway, fair play to Carlo.
Yeah, greenest of green there.
We're
for sure.
We're pulling back all this in about 15 minutes anyway, so...
What else we got here? We have Spurs.
Mm.
And this is a debate because they made the decision. So 44 days. Now, I don't think Igor Tudor's going to get a book or a movie out of it the way that Brian Clough did at Leeds with his 44 days.
Who knows? It was interesting that they waited until the 44th day. It's like, oh, look, nice little bit of symmetry there. Maybe somebody will notice that we...
Yeah. I think it gets maybe two chapters in his book.
Tudor.
Maybe,
his own book.
Yeah. The damned Tottenham Hotspur. For sure. I mean, it could work out that way. Who knows? But this might set them free. I saw last night that Glenn Hoddle was linked with the return to management after 2 decades away.
Yeah.
This was, look, this felt inevitable and maybe, we'll never know, would have happened sooner had it not been for the tragic circumstances himself. Igor Tudor, he had to go straight from his last game in charge at home to Nottingham Forest to his father's funeral. Died. So we waited a week, I suppose, to hear the news. That was kind of always going to happen, really, after that. But yeah, this will be a quiz question, I think, in a bit decades time. When you're naming a sequence of Spurs managers, I think a lot of people forget about this guy being there. So just the one win, which is a match today last in the tie overall against Atletico Madrid. Got a point in Anfield and that's all. That's it. The 11th of February, Thomas Frank was dismissed. And Spurs are back at it again. I was asking a Spurs supporting buddy of mine, would you take Harry? Harry back for the rest of the season? Said no. Take Jurgen Klinsmann and Ryan Mason.
It does look like an interim for a while. De Zerbi looks like the front runner, but apparently, reportedly, doesn't want to take over till the summer. It's just who you get in till then. Ryan Mason is the obvious one. It's just, they're not, I don't know. He'll do a job for them, grand, but they're in a relegation battle.
What job though? That's it. You know, if you do a job, as in you show up to work every day and you're kind of unsackable now.
Yeah.
No matter what happens until they're officially relegated, if they do get relegated. The risk is so high. If they were to go down, it's like, it is a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why Sean Dyche is linked. Okay, so Sean Dyche will save you from relegation, but
he's a specialist, yeah.
He was in the pub.
Yeah, will he definitely save them?
He's probably as good a chance as anyone, I think.
Does he?
Like, he knows how to avoid relegation. But it is a different type of team in a relegation battle, though, isn't it? Yeah. It's a different type of beast. And the players' heads are all down. Very, very much down. So, I don't know. I've said it before, I can't imagine that stadium in the Championship. I can't see it. But it could very well happen.
I mean, it would be delicious.
It would be amazing content.
Yes. I would definitely be very excited if this would happen.
We know it's an extraordinary year for the North London lads. Like, if both things that could happen do happen.
Yeah. Sorry, Arsenal also a disgrace. Have you seen them literally every single one of them in all every country they play for? They've all got these mysterious little muscle injuries. I felt something, nothing specific.
You see, this is the ruthless mentality.
Felt something.
I don't mind it.
Of course, you don't mind it. You're a Man United fan. It's like, decades of this shit happening, you're like, oh, it's Sir Alex Ferguson's playbook. Ooh,
that's how you win leagues, isn't it? Like,
Ferguson's playbook.
See, I think this is kind of a ruthless bastard behaviour by Mikel Arteta that would be appreciated with the passing of
by your
time,
own team,
but not well, by his own team. No, I think a lot of Arsenal fans,
because he was
like,
no good at international football himself, wasn't it?
The style of football,
he doesn't respect it because he wasn't good enough to make it.
I just think if he was slightly more quotable, if he was a little bit more quotable, I think he'd wear the evil cloak very well. And there'd be a bit more of a Diego Simeone about him, you know?
Never capped by the Spain national senior team.
No.
Was he not? Oof.
No, sorry, that was the first thing that came up there, so. Yeah.
If they win the league, this will be the most winningest he's ever been in his own career, player or manager.
If which?
If Mikel Arteta and Arsenal win the league this year. As a player, he played for, Rangers and Everton and Arsenal. And never played for Spain, right? So in terms of major trophies, he himself has no experience of it.
Did he not? Was he not there when Rangers were good? No,
he might have won a couple of Scottish titles, maybe.
He's 44.
44. Anyway, I don't know how we've managed to talk about Arsenal. We're talking about Spurs. Spurs fans would be disgusted with that. Bobby Doyle, let us know what you think. I'd
Would you have kept him?
No, God, no. Jeez, no.
I saw a few. There's a few. I'd be on the same page as you, but there's a few. Not overwhelming consensus, but there was a good few out there being like, I thought he was starting to turn the tide a little bit. I suppose that Forest loss was
maybe
embarrassing.
But I think they just did the cost benefit analysis and was like, there's a really good chance we'll go down. Like, just really good. It's just the Forest game. Like, the Forest game was appalling. Like, the second half performance.
Yeah.
I give it to Harry at the end of the season. Yeah. I think they need a fella to come in there to give them confidence, to make them feel like a somebody again. And Harry will do that for you.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about building anything for the future. I'm not talking about
no,
the Harry,
I get it, he's gone.
You know, I'm not talking about the QPR version of Harry Redknapp towards the end of his own managerial career. It's a really short term thing.
One
he can
objective.
Do it. He also wants the job, which is very important, isn't he? Really wants to do it. I could see him making the players feel good about themselves and keeping them up. It'll be interesting to see what they do. What colour do we want to give here? Because we did debate this, right? So is it actually a colour of positivity because they've made a decision? Or is it actually red because this is the lowest of the low?
The overall situation.
It's red. It's all red. All day long and twice on Monday.
Yeah. I think they're red till next season. Even if they do avoid relegation, I think.
Well, you've got to give them green on the final day of the season if they make it. Because that's...
They finish 17th.
Yeah, yeah. No, look, I mean, 17th is every game's cup final now. And all the other cliches.
It is, yeah.
Like, they're saving hundreds of millions if they don't get relegated. So I would certainly say if they manage to see off the heady challenge of West Ham. Isn't it such a weird scenario that you find yourself, like, cheering West Ham? This stage of your life, you think, how did sport back me into such a shitty corner that I'm, like, in favour of that crowd of owners? Like, what?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Do you want Spurs to go down?
Oh, come on. Who doesn't? Do you not?
No.
Oh, come on.
It's one of those unprecedented things I'd just like to see happen and see how it plays out.
No,
you know?
I get that. I do. And I usually, it would be like that. I'd be like, this is cool. I want to kind of see this freak show. I want to see what happens here. But I like Spurs in the Premier League. I like them. I like, because I know how good they can be, right?
You might like them better in the Championship.
I don't think I would. I just don't. I think, like, the novelty would be class.
We'd go to a game.
Give it a few,
We'd go to a crappy game watching them play the worst team. Yeah.
Give it a few, in August it'll be crack. But, like, November,
Even better.
I missed them.
Could they do it
No, I missed them in the Premier League.
Rainy night in Stoke.
I miss them.
Imagine it.
No, I want them. I do want them to stay up. I want Spurs to stay. I think they will. But anyway, for now, we've agreed there that it's a red for now. Because I suppose, look, things can only get better from here. As a fellow once said, the Irish in the URC, right, to conclude this morning's performance rankings.
Yes.
Now, you could say this is a green, right? Because so Ulster beat Zebra 28-12.
Yeah.
Right? And what else happened? Connacht beat Ospreys 21-14. Ospreys, they had a disallowed try for, it was a forward pass.
It was
pass,
forward.
But, yeah.
But it was 14-all, wasn't it?
It was 14-all. You know what I mean? It was 14-all. And then all the way Friday night ago, Leinster won. Not that convincing. Not that great against Scarlets, 36-19. And then the only team to lose is Munster, but it was much better this time around in South Africa. 34-31 away to the Bulls. Jack Crowley left a couple of kicks behind him, but otherwise played very well. Made a huge difference to Munster.
Munster
the 45-0 shellacking of last week.
Despite being the only losers out of the Ireland team, probably the best performance of the weekend, I would say.
I think this is green all day, by the way.
Away to the Bulls of Pretoria at altitude. They were down, was it 31-19? At one stage, with about 15 minutes to go. Most teams in the world, that's it done. They'll stretch out the lead and that'll be it. Because it's once you get into the last 10-15 minutes at altitude, it's impossible to come back. They nearly did. They brought it back to 3 points at the end, but... Yeah, I think it shows the impact that or the influence of Crowley and Casey in that offense. It's just like
Connacht,
it's built around them.
Connacht are ninth now and are actually off to South Africa. So, not traditionally a great opportunity for them to pick up points. So we'll see what happens. But
they're getting it done though. They're scrappy wins and. You know they're not they're clicking, but they're not. They haven't clicked up fully, but they're getting big results.
In five home games in a row, they've won in the new stadium.
In fairness, there was some wonder tries there by the Bulls. Papier and Juice, particularly. He's only 19, isn't he? Mm. The pace off him, like it was like watching sevens.
They were
just blazing the Munster lads.
There were line breaks all over the place in that game. Despite being pretty low scoring.
But O'Connor got a nice try himself. Like was poor enough defending, but. They kept it going. Tom O'Hearn, like you're just waiting for Tom O'Hearn to really stake his claim full time in that Munster side because you never know where that could end up for him on the international side of it.
Just can't say fit. This is probably
you never rely on him being there. And look, they did this without Tyburn as well. So it was much improved because it was this time last week when we had Quinny in, it was real worrying about Munster. And then they had dreadful news as the week went on about the redundancies, which got buried because it was the day of the Czech game. And we mentioned very briefly on Thursday's show, so we'll talk about all that with Quinny later this morning. But this was a sign of life for sure.
Yeah. My problem with that is that, you know, Crowley and Casey come back. They won't always be there. It's the drop-off in quality when they're not there is my concern for them. No disrespect to the halfbacks that are behind them, but like I said, the attack is almost built around them and requires them to be there to operate correctly. And it did at the weekend, which is great, but it's when they're not there, it's like, oh, you're almost not. If it's an away game, I wouldn't fancy them at all to pick up results with the two boys not there, which is a massive concern. Like, depth is so important in rugby these days. It's absolutely crucial.
Yeah, that's true. Couple of comments there. Bobby Dwyer, Tudor was brought in to get a bounce and unfortunately didn't get it. They should have brought Redknapp in, who'd have immediately got a bounce, but the board are too arrogant to listen to the fans.
Mm.
If Harry comes in, does it mean people won't want Spurs to be relegated because Harry is so likeable?
Sorry, that would I wouldn't want Harry to have that. It's also.
But then, as someone's pointed out as well to us, you could see Mason Mealy up front next season for Spurs if they go down to the Championship.
Yeah, bring it on.
No, overall, I want this to occur. So final shout for me for the competition for the Braeburn €100 voucher. 0879 180 180 only on WhatsApp. The last country that the Republic of Ireland men's senior international team played in a major tournament.
Did you want to mention someone first before we go? Shane Lowry.
Oh yeah, Shane Lowry. Honourable mention. Oh my God, hole in one.
Yeah.
Yesterday. Now he finished tied 28th, I think.
That's why he's probably not in the rankings.
Overall, that's why he's not, but you're right. We wanted to give this special shout out to Lowry. Hole in one there at the Houston Open. Finished on 7-under overall and tied 28th. And Jesus, seems an awful long time ago, that Tiger Woods news, isn't it? All the way Friday night ago. That's your performance rankings.
Off the Balls Performance Rankings.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.